like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. It's the NFL playoffs. Teams are entering the home stretch. Gold and glory is in sight. And I've teamed up with DraftKings, an official partner of the NFL. And right now, they have an offer. You want to know the offer? You don't want to miss it. All customers can get a no-sweat bet. Get a bonus bet back if your same-game parlay or same-game parlay X bet doesn't hit. Max reward limits apply. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up by using promo code TBC, which stands for the Breakfast Club. That's TBC. And if you're a new customer, you just bet $5 and you get $200 in bonus bets instantly. How dope is that? Wondering what you can do with that $200 on bonus bets? Combine multiple bets together for a shot at even a bigger payout. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, you can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. All new customers can use my promo code TBC. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us today.
Man, legends, trendsetters.
We got Brandon Marshall. He's been up here numerous times.
Yep.
And we got the brother Cam Newton. Welcome, brother.
You did.
How you feeling?
Man, nothing short of amazing. If I was any better, I'd be a twin. Hey.
Man, it's so good to see what y'all are doing. You know, Brandon, you know, you were early on with the podcast and with I Am Athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Cam, you don't like to call it a podcast. You like to say you got a show.
It's a show, bro.
With Funky Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
How has the transition been from football to media personality?
Yeah, from athlete to personality.
Cool.
So my transition was smooth, and I mean, Cam's one of those guys as well. You know, in the peak of our career, we already started doing what we are doing now. Like, my thing was, I want my post-career to already be solidified, you know, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent an entire offseason in 2014 at Harvard building out a case study on transition.
Mm-hmm.
And what came out of that was content and commerce. And so I've been on that path, like just trying, you know, succeeding, failing, doing some big stuff, you know, some dumb stuff. So like my transition was smooth. Like I started my transition literally when I was having my Pro Bowl days, you know, that's 2014. So I always tell younger dudes, like, you look, keep the main thing for the first couple of years. And then once you solidify in ball, then you start shadowing people. Then you start reading those books. And then you start it before you leave, because when you leave, they don't care. They don't give a damn. They if I ain't had media, they don't care about no Brandon Marshall.
That's changed, though. That's changed. Like, what I mean by that is when you say, like, keep the main thing, like, you got athletes that's in their prime that's still keeping media at its forefront. And I said it earlier, it's like, gone are the days where we needed major networks to get our narrative out. And doing it in a way that I've vowed and really took a oath, like, I want to be a voice of my people, my kind. And that's bigger than just race. Like, if you feel how I feel, you're my kind. If you can relate to what I relate to, you're my kind. And, you know, having this platform to be able to, you know, really call bullshit on certain things, but also empower on the other side too, all the while being entertaining. And my fear was going on a major network and being muzzled. It's like, nah, bro, like, that ain't me though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I want to appease to the people in Bankhead just the same as the people in Buckhead. You feel me? Like, you can't try to remove that, because that's a part of me. So I think now in media, we're in the golden age of athlete-generated content. And it's something it's healthy. Now we can call bullshit on a lot of people that's just saying, hold on. What gives you the right to make that? And I can't. Okay, you feel this type of way about certain things, but I really did it, though. I know how Dak Prescott feels. I know how, you know, Lamar Jackson feels. I went to the Super Bowl. I was a Pro Bowl player. I was an All-Pro. But what, you got a journalism degree? So when you hold their feet to the fire and say, like, nah, bro, whether you agree with what I'm saying or not, mine should be more justified because I actually have live reps in battle.
Lived experience.
Come on.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, how do you feel when you hear, especially when you look at all the places that you name that talk about football or talk about sports, and a lot of these people never played the sport, right? Yeah. Most of you brothers been doing this since 3 years old, right? Over and over again. I got two sons, so I know what the commitment is. Even though I don't play, I know it's 6 days a week, game. You know, 5 days a week, game. So when you hear these brothers talk about what you should have done or how the play should have went.
Know your shit. And I got into it with a journalist on my platform. And, you know, I'm like, damn, we built this to protect the athlete and to be a safe space, but also hold them accountable. But it's like, we go out there and we say, well, Dak Prescott just threw his third interception. Okay, well, tell me about whose fault those interceptions were. The receiver ran a five-yard hitch route, but he was really supposed to run this. So Dak is dropping back, holding the safety down the middle, and then throwing the ball off a truss. And the receiver didn't do his job. But we out there on TV, and we just saying stuff just to make up stuff and do numbers. And my problem is with the players, though. The players that's being lazy. Like, bro, you sat in them seats and you know. You can't go out there and say, give this hard take. You got to be able to say, look, I don't know their assignment. I don't know if it was the receiver or the quarterback. But if it was the quarterback, this is what should have happened. We just out there just saying stuff just to say stuff sometimes.
I've never seen you bite your tongue on inside the NFL, though, Brandon.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's why I'm always in trouble is because because it's like, you know what I'm saying? You think about, and I never forget this, when I got to inside the NFL on Showtime, did that for 10 years. And I'm like, I heard a producer say, like, define your seat. Like, what's your seat? I'm like, my seat. And I was like, oh, once I understood it, I was like, oh, my seat is to get a player's perspective. And I'm always going to do that. So I'm not going to go out there and say this receiver suck. I'm going to say, well, from my perspective as a receiver, So,
Cam, did you ever get those opportunities to be on those major sports networks, or you just said, fuck it, I'm going to do my own thing?
I challenged my agent, Carlos Fleming, at WME when I was a rookie, prior to me coming into the league, and I told him I never want to be a sports analyst. And it's your job to make sure that I have enough opportunity when I leave the game of football that I can do whatever I want to do.
Why?
Why?
Didn't you?
Because I knew I didn't want to. Like I said, I didn't want to be muzzled. I've always stood on how I felt, you know. But every time I say something, people get distracted off of, why he dressed like that, though? But why he talk like that?
I'm not going to lie. Everybody in this room was like, what is Cam going to wear to the Breakfast Club today? Yeah. That, everybody was thinking that before you came in.
But they get personal, but they miss the point that I made. You know what I'm saying?
I should be clean to me, though. I'm not a dresser. But when I'm like, Cam look like he got his own style going on.
I didn't see no, it's fly.
No, but this is the thing, though. Like, I never wanted to look like any other, like nobody. I never wanted to look like y'all niggas. Like, respectfully, though. Like, I'm not the dude that's going to stand out or stand in a line for a shoe release. But there's no disrespect to the people who do. I'm never going to be the person where he's like, oh, that's the new collection from blase blah.
Right.
I'm not that. You know, it was just like, bro, first off, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And I pay attention to the details. So the pocket squares, the lapel pins, the socks, the watch, the rings, the... You know,
top hat. You got to come up with a line of top hats.
And glad I do. It's Mashika Hats right now, based in Bozeman, Montana, as well as Venice Beach,
still
California.
Still waiting on mine.
Oh.
Still waiting on mine.
You still ain't send me your size, bro. Stop.
Where can people get these at? Come on. Listen.
Come on. Don't
Cam,
do that.
Come on.
Don't
I am mad. I swear. True story. Every time you talk about your brand, bro, I'm like, damn, I still ain't get my hat. He came on I'm Athlete. Bro, y'all measured my hat, my head, and you said you was going to send it out. This is when you first dropped the line.
So you see what you're doing right now? You're holding me accountable. And Cam Newton in media right now, that's all I want to do is hold everybody
accountable. No, I ain't holding nobody accountable. You missed the play.
No, you said you
I'm talking
got
about
your
brand. We getting more airtime about the brand.
Cam said stop about the caps, Brandon. Okay, you know.
We talking about the hat.
I'm trying to see how many sales we get off the hat. You
feel what I'm saying? Yeah, Mashika has M-E-S-H-I-K-A hats. And then, you know, we can make it do what it do.
Can I ask a question? I know this is Breakfast Club and this y'all show. How y'all doing?
Right, less like, black and highly favored. I felt like that. I was like, damn, did we ask the brothers how they were doing?
We did. Yeah, we did. Right?
But this is a real. And we, you know, this is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what y'all want to do with it, but how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
You're doing good.
I'm doing
right
well.
Because you know, as athletes and also media, we know, you know, not everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we don't have those type of conversations. So I just wanted to ask you how you was doing.
I'm doing well, and the thing that makes me do so well as family. The first thing you said to me when I walked in here was, how's our boy doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do more. Now, of course, it's not your boy, but it's our boy. It's like a village raised him. If you don't know, I sent my son out to your facility out there and they trained for a day or whatever it may be. But that's what we need to do more of to make sure we're checking up on each other. And I appreciate that. But my family makes me feel so well. Everything
that's
else
right.
on the outside is noise.
Right.
When I come home and I got the love of them six kids, the love of my wife,
And when you go through things, you appreciate that more.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I open it up, because y'all are the pioneers. Y'all built the blueprints and the templates for us to follow. Mm-hmm. And we following, we watching. And so even like this open seat, you know, and that type of talk, it's like, you know, y'all, it's like, it's a lot to it. And you got to stay strong. You got to always stay positive. That's why I wanted to ask how y'all doing.
Thank you, brother.
But if we return the favor, how you guys doing? I mean, both of you brothers are going through a lot. Good, and I'm possibly negative. You have another child on the way. Congratulations. Yeah. The new show. I seen you clapping back at a journalist that I guess he gave you like a backhand compliment. And you was like, my nigga, don't give me a backhand compliment.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. But now this media revolution has given me the volume to speak on that. You know, a lot of times we always talk, but our volume was not as high as it is today.
Right. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think, and it was just like, I heard what he said and I was like, no.
And it puts respect on your name.
I love that he rewinded it and everything. I said, oh, this is.
Let me tell you what you're not going to do though. You know, because a lot of people, they just judge you off of the NFL. But I'm a 5-star athlete out of high school, national championship in college. But when you talk about that, that's cocky. Like, hold on, bro. Like, no, don't talk about that. It's like, bro, I got all that to tell you what I've done, but all you got to tell me is I've been covering this sport for how many? Like, bro, I've been playing this sport for that many years too. You see what I'm saying?
So you go back and get that degree, like, but you can't go.
I got my degree too.
Yeah.
Well, so what are you talking about? So everything that you got, I got too.
Mm-hmm.
But you're gonna suppress my take on certain things. And you're going to try to change the goalpost to say, you're trying to make it a Dak and Cam thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Dak. I'm a big fan of Dak, just like so many other people are. It's a me and you, Jason, issue here. It's like, bro, I'm in your field now. that is about to be mine, because I can do what you do, but you could never do what I do. When you take that tone and sentiment, he's bitter. He's angry. And we got to stop that. I've seen what this guy was able to do for so many years and just hold people accountable. Just ask the question. Simple. Hold up. Was it really like that, though? Hold up. What, like, hold up. Whether how petty somebody would make it believe or what not, it's still accountability. And you're going to have to speak on it. And that's what I appreciate most about the Breakfast Club, because we knew you were going to be held accountable. And we knew somebody was going to ask the question that we all wanted to know. So when I do Funky Friday, when I do Fourth and One, I'm not just speaking from a fan's perspective or the viewer's perspective. I'm really asking because I owe a service to my audience.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And once you understand that, that's me studying. That's me being a student of the game. That's me understanding, like, yo, how does Breakfast Club stay on air and relevant air for so many years?
God.
Yeah, God. You see what I'm saying? Word up. Like, real talk.
Word up. I don't think there's any other explanation for it, because a lot of times platforms like this would have been,
for
like,
sure,
been gotten out the way.
Yep.
Been pushed out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, but how do y'all feel like what y'all are doing is disrupt? How do y'all feel it's disrupting what's happening in traditional sports networks? Because I feel like I watch it and I'm like, the language is changing. The way a lot of these people are trying to talk on these platforms is changing. And I know it's because of what athlete-driven podcasts are doing. For sure.
It's a huge opportunity for us. And this is internal language, and I always say it's next-gen ESPN. And so next generation ESPN, it's just not a safe spot. Like, even what Cam was just saying about Breakfast Club, it's like, it's how you ask the question. That's and right. how you hold your people accountable. And so we do the same thing. I did it with Cam, right? Like, Cam playing for the Patriots. This is one of our first epic episodes. We got millions of views. And he coming off, and there's he, you know, you're throwing the ball in the dirt a little bit.
That's okay, bro.
Okay. And so, but he's dealing with a shoulder injury.
He's got to throw his jab.
Make the point.
You
know, everybody thought y'all had beef when y'all did the conversation. I remember that.
Yeah, but no, it was the tough one. And I was like, damn, I got to ask the question. Is like, are you done? And I'm like, bruh, how's your shoulder feeling, bro? Because, you know, you and he went into it and he explained himself. Mm-hmm. And then he had a legendary moment. He said, Durant 32 better than me. Mm-hmm. Man, we sold T-shirts off of that. Right? So, you know, it's how you ask the question. So it's a safe space, and there's a lot of people built in podcasts, but are you built in platform? Platform is like building teams. You have to have a monetization strategy, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a huge opportunity for those out there that want to figure that out in sports.
Y'all, Cam played 11 seasons, right?
Yes, sir.
Brandy, you played 13. That's 13. A lifetime in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Do y'all feel like y'all were fulfilled?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
But this is the thing that I would ask as sports fans. What's more important, Envy? Is it championships or impact?
Ooh. For me?
Yeah.
My favorite NBA player is Allen Iverson, so I would say impact. Never won a ring.
Come on now.
It's my favorite player, though.
I think you have to have a healthy combination of both.
No.
I don't think it's an either or.
No, this is an either or. You have to. I can't let you straddle.
Okay.
When you're thinking about your favorite athletes,
yes,
right. Or if you were an athlete, what would you be more keen to saying? When it's all said and done, I want to have more championships, or I want to be able to sit on my impact was felt.
Neither.
Hold on, bro.
Neither.
I have to say it's a combination of two. And the reason I have to say it's a combination of two, because the championships will keep you out of the GOAT conversations often. Like, people, as great as Allen Iverson is, shifted culture, one of the best to ever do it, he's not mentioned in that rare era of the Michael Jordans, the Magic Johnsons, the LeBron James.
This is what I'll say to that. There are so many different determinant factors in sports. You know, Big Shot, without Robert Horry hitting certain shots, does Kobe have as many? You know what I'm saying? Steve Kerr, like, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, those guys did their job so that we can acknowledge Michael Jordan to be the
But they don't even get in those positions without the Michael Jordans and the Kobe.
That's understandable. But if Adam Vinatieri misses one of those field goals, do we really acknowledge Tom Brady as the GOAT?
We would
never know. But
yeah.
but I'm saying a lot of those things went right for us to be able to say championships is key. Now, what you can't deny is impact. Impact is more self-worthy statistics that's like, yo, okay, I see what, like Tom Brady changed the game. Mm-hmm. Okay, Peyton changed the game. Allen Iverson, LeBron changed. Kobe, Michael Jordan changed the game. But that's still not to say, like, with my situation, I never won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I was in the game. If certain determining factors happen, will we... Like, if we had a pick six, nothing that I did, but something that the defense did, that gives me my championship.
Is it fair to compare the NBA and NFL, though? Because I feel the NFL degree of difficulty
sports.
Is different.
It's still sports.
The who degree of difficulty?
I feel like the NFL degree of difficulty is different.
Is it harder?
I think it's harder.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's harder than the NBA. And because, like, with Barry Sanders, right, we know Barry Sanders is an all-time great running back. Probably top three, top four. But we don't even worry about rings when it comes to
for sure
Barry Sanders. So I don't know if the NFL, and I think when I think about the NFL, I don't know if I think about the championships as much.
Yeah. But even you put Barry Sanders on the St. Louis Rams at the time when they had, you know, Marshall Faulk.
Greatest show on turf.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he may not have had the ball as much, but his impact is still felt, but he's around or surrounded by a different type of team.
And I'm not sure if one player impacts an NFL team as much as one player impacts an NBA team.
Well, you're right what you're saying, but there is a position that's the quarterback position. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, if you ain't got the guy, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard on everybody.
Nah.
You don't think the quarterback position to me is the most important position.
The quarterback position
in
of football,
all the sports.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Quarterback position of football is the mega star in basketball. And that position can be the center, guard, forward, or whatever. But that impact is still felt. Anywhere LeBron goes, he can go to the Detroit Pistons. And that's going to garner a lot of people to say, okay, I want to go to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer. See what I'm saying? Like, what Aaron Rodgers was able to do for New York Jets fans this year, the preseason was excited. It was like, oh, my God, it was a wave in Jersey or New York that we never really felt before, you know, since the Joe Namath let me take that back. The Rex Ryan era when they were winning, right?
Brandon's like, I used to play for the Jets, now watch your mouth now.
That's he's always the era. He missed the era.
You know what I'm saying? But the hype, that's pretty much what I'm saying. So, you know, when you got guys that have that star power, usually in football, it is the quarterback. Who's the guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to draft him. You typically can't go and trade for a quarterback unless you're giving up the kitchen sink. But that's just the nature of really the sport.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots.
the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's such an interesting conversation because even I think about somebody like Peyton Manning, right? Did he really have an impact on those rings he won with the Broncos?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, what he was able to, what was it, 2013 or 14, when he had Bebe, rest in peace, and those statistics, see, I think he threw for like 52 touchdowns mm-hmm. in that one season. Call it whatever you want. And the footballs never had a spiral, but they was getting to the destination, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. with the tracker on it. You mm-hmm. dig what I'm saying? He couldn't hand it off better than, it, you know, in that spectrum. But, yes, you know, he was as an elite as we've ever seen. So much elite that even with me acknowledging or describing game changers, there's game changers in media. Mm-hmm. Right? Game changer. This show is a game changer. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when you have networks to say you are the compared target, hey, I don't know what we got to do, but we got to go get us another Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we got to do, but we got to go draft us another Peyton Manning. I don't know what we got to find us another LeBron James.
If somebody says this show is better than The Breakfast Club, you still the bar.
It's a changer, a game changer in any commodity is the standard or the bar. Mm-hmm. And when you're compared to certain things, it's not to say that your show still isn't good. There's shows out there that's still good, but they ain't the bar. Mm-hmm. It may be some things that they do good, but it's still not like, okay, let's see how long can you do this for? Mm-hmm. Like, is this just a run? You know, just like artists. Like, artists come out with a good album. Mm-hmm. It's like, woo, that was flames. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they drop a second and third, and it's like, hold on, but was it flame? Those game changers as musical artists is like, okay, banger after banger. He had a couple slip and slide songs, but, you know, other than that, these were the ones. So doesn't matter what the commodity is, my point is, they're still game changers in that.
You were definitely a game changer. Did your career feel incomplete without a Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
That's what people don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you could never say that while playing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have the capabilities of doing now. It's like, you know how so many people, you know, have runs or they are dominant players, you know, and they don't have rings or will never be in a position to have a ring. Mm-hmm. Look at Brandon Marshall, never went to the playoffs. But you don't necessarily know that. You know him as the dominant football player. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, it's like, well, while he's playing, he could never say, like, man, I got to do my best to either be an All-Pro or a Pro Bowl because my team is not good enough for us to be in the Super Bowl. You got fans you got to worry about, the deals you got to worry about, the coaches, the continuity you got to worry about. But it's real information, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like this seat. Like, we got to find somebody that's going to hold their own. Like, we just can't bring out no regular person. Like, I need somebody to challenge the greatness of me. I need somebody to challenge the great, and it gotta mesh, right? And if we're able to go viral, if we're able to still do numbers, and I really ain't got my shit off yet, don't worry about it. You bringing out the best in me. So next show, I got you.
Let me ask you a question. You know, both of you guys retired. What is your thoughts?
I have not retired.
You have not retired?
No, sir.
You just said you want to play for the Falcons.
Yeah. I haven't, but to your point. So
you do want to play football again?
If the right opportunity.
The Falcons. You said that's the only team. I saw that a couple
days
ago.
Yeah, it makes sense. I got kids, bro. Like, would you take another job outside of New York?
Probably not outside of New York.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, I got soon to be 8 kids. Mm-hmm. Take pride in that. I love that. Yeah. Love being a dad. Can't wait to go home today to be able to take my daughter to tennis practice.
Best feeling ever.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And I'm that dad too. Like, you everybody knows, like, oh, okay, we don't gotta guess who his son is. Like, yeah, God damn it, Chosen, that's my boy.
That's me.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
up there.
That's me.
And I'm on his ass when we working out. Yeah. He's 8. You know what I'm saying? My son China, like Jaden, he's like, he's getting accepted in schools. Yeah, motherfucker. Hey.
Same way.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, not just the UGAs or the Kentuckys. This is the FAMUs and the Howards and the Hamptons.
That's right.
And I'm excited for all both of them, you know, for them all. Mm-hmm. So that's where you got to start taking into consideration. It's like, bro, I can't go to play in Seattle. Great team, great organization, but I can't do that. I mean, it's a time difference. Mm-hmm. You know, my kids got, you know, technical devices that they want to call you. And, Daddy, where you at?
That's right.
So they need a coach, too. So... what coach would you want to play for in Atlanta?
Ask your question, man.
I'm glad.
We see if Belichick get the job, is he calling you? If Belichick gets the job, is he calling?
Look, I said what I said. Like, if you still want to, you know, see what I have to say about this particular topic, tune in to 4th and 1 next week.
There you go.
Perfect. We're gonna definitely talk about it.
I was asking about football being, we've seen the transition of football, how it's changed, right? Yeah. And to myself, who's not a player, who hasn't played, seems like it got softer, right? Mm. It seems like I've never seen quarterbacks flop until recently, where a quarterback will fall on the floor, kickers will fall on the floor because they want the extra yards. I've never seen shit like that before in my life. But you're seeing that more. You're seeing it more in the NBA.
Yeah.
What is your both of y'all positions on the NFL, and do you think it's getting a lot of softer? Do you think it's ruining the game? Do you think it's helping in the game because it's protecting players? What's your thoughts?
I'm going to get there. But that was a vet move right there. Because he was about to just throw a grenade and just wait for that soundbite to happen.
It's coming back.
By just saying, but do you really got it in you?
Yeah.
And just sit back. But that's a vet move.
Physically,
you got to learn that.
But physically, you look like, I'm talking about mentally and emotionally. Do you still want to go out there and do that? That grind.
I could. Mm-hmm. And we were just having this conversation. What I miss most about being in the NFL is the routine. The continuity, you know, things where, you know, you just shooting the shit in the locker room. Bro, y'all seen your boy B. Marsh, bro. Look at this outfit that he got on. Look at this fool. Like, he got caught last night. You know, like, these things is still locker room talk, safe space, and it's still accountability. But to the point, Envy, is I think it's not soft, it's safe. And when you think about it from the Shield, when you think about it from these, you know, NBA people who are making the decisions, the game is better with the Patrick Mahomes in it. The game is better with Lamar Jackson in it. Mm-hmm. The game is better with Odell in it. If they're hurt, or if Odell retires and he then says CTE, I'm having withdrawals and I can't walk straight, my back, that's not a good look for these major conglomerate businesses that they are forced, and if they are smart to be able to say, hold on, we're going to make this game safer. Call it soft, we're making it safer. We need the longevity of our players while they're playing and after they're playing. And that's really what it is.
Last night we was with the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and we spent about an hour with him just talking about some of these things, very casual. And one thing he did, he lit up. He was like, oh, the game is so good right now.
He
lit up on that. And we start talking about that. And, you know, from his perspective, it is safer, but also the business is booming, you know.
It will always boom. Mm-hmm.
And I always push back on players to talk about, you know, how soft it is, because it's like, yo, all that tough guy stuff is irrelevant when you 60 and you dealing with the things that Cam just described. Like, I'm tired of seeing some of my boys 40 years old and they can barely walk up the steps.
Hip replacements.
Right? It's like protect each other out there. Like, let's go get our money. Let's compete at a high level. And I was a guy, I came through the era too where we was really getting after it. You know, Ray Lewis trying to take my head off, and the Ed Reeds and the Troy Polamalus of the world.
Monsters.
But, you know, I'm like, no, it makes sense. You know, and I changed my game halfway through where the first couple of years I would crack back. Remember the crack back block?
Yeah.
Boom, take illegal the dude's now. Head off. The cleatum hit. Feet above his head, all of that.
Yep.
And then I was in a game plan against Buffalo, running down on kickoff, and one of my homies hit a tight end, Everett, but used to play for the UM. And now he paralyzed, can't walk. And after that, I would just like stop that. What I would do is I would come back on a crack block and I would see, like, say Ray Lewis. I'm like, yeah. Ray Lewis turn around, like, let's start it up. Boom. All right, I did my job, you did your job. Right, and we good. We go home.
Yeah, that's dope. That's y'all looking out for each other.
Yeah,
not everybody do it.
Yeah,
but you know, we had. I don't remember who we had up here, but he said it was more difficult because now he has to think before he hits. Like, I can't hit the quarterback here, and it makes him, instead of just naturally tackling or naturally doing something, he overthinks in some way. Who was it?
I think it was Malcolm Jenkins. Probably.
Yeah.
It was Malcolm Jenkins. Yeah.
He said, now I have to overthink before I make the play, and sometimes that makes me miss the play.
That's right. I'm on the other side of the ball, I'm wide receiver, but the defensive guys, they're in a tough spot. And so, like, when I get an opportunity to be a part of, like, these discussions and talk about the rule changes and what's next and listen to what the NFL is talking about, I'm always saying, like, but take care of our guys too, because it ain't fair to them. They come in and they can't hit high, they can't hit low, they hit in the wrong place, and now they fine 50,000. That's ridiculous. So it is tough for the defensive backs.
I guess, Cam, a better question I would ask you, you know, it's in you, but what's the motivation other than money?
And is money the motivation?
Sure. That's it. I mean, I'm good. I'm good. And that's what they can't stand to stand to know. Like, there's going to be I was reading the comments, and somebody said, bro, Cam Newton acting like he's good enough to demand where he's going to go.
That was going to be my next question. Like what do you say to people who say, who the hell does Cam think he is, to act like he has choices?
That's cool.
With who he plays for.
But, hey, dumbass whoever talked about it, you know, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Whether I go back to the league or not, I can say I use the game of football for my good because I have not played in 3 years, but my name is still relevant because of media. Checkmate. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. And you're going to keep hearing me because now I've identified the power of influence. I've understand the power of entertainment. I've understood the power of just like, yo, I want to see what he has to say. And while doing that, I've been able to create Iconic Saga, my production company. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Marsh, like, I had an opportunity where somebody tried to sign, you know, me as a talent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, I'm a couple million away from being your number one competitor. Because I don't need the money. My company is not funded by Cam Newton's personal money. It's its own entity. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at those checks, it says Iconic Saga. It doesn't say Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that is something where I'm trying to sustain or have a solid foundation and knowing that with the proper deals that comes in, I'm not putting my car or buying a car for your car show. You know what I'm saying? It's like I already had that. Football gave me that. But also football is also giving me the capital to invest in the things that I care about. Mm-hmm. And knowing that what I made in the NFL is not going to be enough for my lifetime. Now it's time for me to get smart enough to throw a grenade out there and say, yeah, I'll play for Atlanta. Really saying to myself, like, gotcha. Y'all keeping me relevant still, you know what I'm saying? And just doing it.
Have teams reached out to you to play, though?
Yes, but it wasn't worth talking about. It's like, what? Come up for what? No. Mm. I already felt a certain type of way with going back to New England, seeing Newton on another color jersey.
It felt weird.
Like, I was prepared. This is what people don't understand. I was prepared to retire when I first got cut.
Wow. Just because you didn't want to leave Carolina?
I never did. And that's why I hurt so much. It was like I wanted to end my career similar to the Eli Mannings, the Ben Roethlisberger. They had that right to do, you know? And even for Tom Brady, like he could say, like, no. Let's come together. You don't want me here. I don't, you know, the circumstances, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. Let's do it honorable. Mm-hmm. Same like at Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that option. Mm-hmm. They just say, yo, bro, like, and to them, they may say nobody wanted you. That's fine. It's still too. But I'm alert to understand, like, I was in a good position then. And then going back to get that, and then going back to get that again, it was like, oh, okay, shit.
You know, I always wondered, why did it seem like, you know, you led the Panthers to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That year you led the Panthers to the Super Bowl. Man, you were by far the blackest quarterback I ever seen. Like, hey. You know what I'm saying? like the dabbing, you know, future Jeezy at games. Yeah. The white people was complaining.
Yeah.
The next year you came back a little bit more subdued.
Yeah.
What was the reason?
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say subdued, you know, but it was just more commercials.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they put that mainstream on me and then, you know, certain situations happened and I still was reminded I'm still a nigga.
So you turned it down a little bit on purpose. I mean, it was kind
of. It wasn't that I was turned it down. It just happened that way.
Yeah.
You know, I lost a deal because, you know, there was things in the media about my personal life. Everybody goes through it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a breakup, I lost a deal like that. And the next week, they got another black quarterback, Dak Prescott.
Wow.
You know, and I'm like, yo. But it didn't match their aesthetic, and they have the power to do that. Now, if you do the fine print, they send you a whole contract they're basically saying, we're going to pay you $1.5 million, and they're going to explain all the things in this 50-page contract. And it's just like, no, just get me to the last one. Okay, I sign it. Cool, boom. But that contract really is an at-will basis. Mm-hmm. You do anything that we don't damn agree with, we can snip you and replace you. And once I started understanding that, it was like, yo, how am I impacting my community, though? How do I give my son hope? to be able to say, son, if that's how you feel, stand on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't no disrespect to the buckheads, but it's like everybody knows what I mean. Like, I want to appease to the bankhead.
Word up.
Not the buckhead.
Word.
Because I do more by that, because everywhere that I go, question last night, bro, they really love you in Charlotte? Like, Charlotte, I can go anywhere.
Hell yeah.
It's a respect thing, because when I see a black person or I see a person of my kind and they say what's up to me, yo, one finger, one pinky, one thumb, one love. Yeah, bro, what love? What's good with it? How y'all doing, man? Y'all good? Y'all straight? I'm used to those type of toxic mm-hmm. atmospheres, and I thrive in those where we shooting dice, playing poker, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Or just at the bar, it's like, bro, I'm good. But no, we straight. It's a respect thing. My man, you good? You got an issue? Hey, come on. Hey, around on me. Let's mm-hmm. go. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. when you have that awareness, or they call it emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. That's something that's what our environment teaches us. They call it street smart, but mm-hmm. it's in corporate, it's emotional intelligence.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
When y'all get to that height, both of y'all, you know, y'all been to the top of the NFL. Do you feel a pressure to keep it ultra black? Because there was times when they used to get mad at your dabbing, Cam. You dabbed more.
Yeah. but not only that, though, like, I look at the league now, and I'm like, damn, I would get fined for certain things that they do now. This man is the creation of my calls, my cleats. Mm-hmm. But the NFL ain't never wrote him a check for that. They're going to repurpose it in a different way.
Wow.
But he got fined for wearing the lime green mental health awareness. And I got proof. There's multiple people that told me that. And the NFL is making billions of dollars off of that, my cause, my cleats. They have unbelievable testimonials by my cause, my cleats. But the person who was fined for that, he didn't even get reimbursed for his fines. It was just like, oh, and by the way, listen, like our forefathers.
Yeah. How did it make you feel, Brandon? Like,
First, I think, like, to answer your question, you know, people look at me like, you crazy, he this and that. And it's not that, it's really disruption. And it's like, you know, everybody say, stand on business. And it's like, I always felt like I'm gonna go with my gut. And so my cause, my cleat, that was that. It was like, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm wearing lime green cleats. I'm playing on Thursday night football against the Jets, playing in Chicago, against the Giants in Chicago. And we're probably going to reach a half a billion homes. And we did. Mm-hmm. And after that, that was one of the reasons why I got traded to the Jets. But think about it. Now I'm a bad teammate. Mm-hmm. You know, I do my own thing. I'm selfish, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm walking back with the owner, the McCaskies, and he's like, yeah, the way you wore your socks and those lime green cleats, you can never do that again.
Did they even ask you what it was for?
No, they knew because it was Mental Health Awareness Week.
Got you. So all week,
we was doing everything. We had all the buildings lit up in Chicago, New York, lime green, and we was doing events. And I was saying, like, I'm wearing these lime green cleats, and they're probably going to find me, and I'm going to match the fine, and we'll put it whatever. And so the day of the game, NFL official walks up, knocks on the door. We stand at the Hilton down on Michigan Ave, and they're like, yeah, if you wear those cleats, we're not going to allow you to go on the field.
What?
And I said, well, y'all tell the fans why y'all I'm not playing today. And I shut my door, right? And then everybody, owners, everybody hitting me up. And I sat in my room. I said, I'm going through my regular routine. So anyways, I wore the lime green cleats, and it took off. And then after that, I would fly to New York, and I would meet with them. And then this is the commissioner. You know, I'm friendly with the commissioner. It's my guy. And one day we sitting in a circle. He's like, I'm tired of this kid coming in here talking about this and that, and nothing's happening. Get it done. And he walked out. And then, boom, I caused my cleats. So,
with no credit to you.
No credit or nothing to show for it. So,
outside of an attaboy.
Outside of a fine. This is what I would say.
But also, too, I got another situation, too.
I don't want to say that because I don't want to lead that out like that.
Give me two sentences. D'Angelo Williams was the cure for cancer. His mom... Rest in peace. He wanted to wear pink. He had pink dreads for his mom. Now, he probably didn't get as fine as Brandon did, but now you have my cause, my cleats, and then the October breast cancer awareness month, the pink. Mm-hmm. But these are players who have
the ability to say, hold up, this means something to me. Mm-hmm. And now the NFL, you can't blame them for saying, hold on, this is a dope ass idea. Let's see how much we can raise for this. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to leave it out there like that because you're right. Everybody right. You know, there should have been more opportunities, and there can be more opportunities. I think it was like year three they came back around. We did like a 30-second spot, a commercial, whatever. You know, and I wasn't looking at it that way. I was looking at how much money, you know, the cancer community was generating off of Breast Cancer Awareness Week in the NFL. But then I'm looking at like, damn, there's 36 million Americans impacted by cancer, but there's 120 million Americans affected by mental health. What can the NFL do? How much money can be generated for profit, nonprofit in this community? So I was looking at it from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they gave me a little recognition from like putting out a commercial doing that, but it was all about the money. You know, it's about how do we get these resources to
that's
like
your
summit, your mental health summit. Like that's what I was looking at. Like, okay, y'all funding all these other places, but you got Charlamagne doing some amazing things in this space. Let's take 10 million and put it over here. Let's take 10 million. Let's take it to Dak Prescott. But this is what I would say. So there's opportunities. But if you know when you're dealing with large corporations like that, and establishments like that, it can take time. So like I got that. Like when I call, they answer, and I go in there, and it's going to take time, but there's going to be some major deals. Like the biggest partner in the NFL, Cigna, mm-hmm. and they don't activate, mm-hmm. but they trying to focus on mental health. Who else better to do it with?
Than you, right? Absolutely.
So I say that because it's going to happen, and when you building something and you see it, it may take 5, 10, 15 years, but when it break through, it's going to break through in a major way.
You know, I wanted to ask you too, Brandon. You had took like a sabbatical, right? Because I saw you had kind of disappeared, and then you came back on social media. What was that about?
He good, literally. So sabbatical. Like, look, I've invested all of my football money. I made over $100 million, right? So then you got to do after taxes, all of that. I've invested all of my football money into that case study that we talked about earlier at Harvard, content and commerce. Mm. And so it's going to take time. And, you know, I've made some mistakes. I've learned in real time, but I see it. Everything that I'm doing today is built off of that case study. I'm not doing anything different. And so, you know, where I've been over the last 2 years, I've had guys that people come on the platform and we weren't fully aligned. I didn't know how to lead at times. I may have said the wrong thing at times, but I was like, here's the vision. Here's the 5-year roadmap. And so getting there has been a little bumpy over the last year or two. And so what I needed to do was, one, look myself in the mirror and say, okay, how are you contributing to this? And two, it's like, all right, bro, fuck the product. Excuse my language. Get the paper right, the people right, and then the process. We know how to do content. Mm-hmm. I know how to go viral. That ain't it. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than the podcast. We have an opportunity to be the next generation ESPN. Mm-hmm. And so I think to get there, I had to go on that sabbatical, which I'm still kind of there. Like I'm almost like a artist in his last, has delivered one last album, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like I'm putting out content because I have a contract, right? And I'm making a lot of money a month to do this. But the reality is I don't want to put out content right now. I want to get the paper right, the people, and then the process. And so that's where I'm at right now, bro. But like I said, it had to start with me looking myself in the mirror, meditating every day, doing yoga every day, you know, still taking care of myself. And a lot of things came up, a lot of trauma that I never dealt with, mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about 10 years, like, damn, I'm still carrying that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's where I've been, bro. So I'm still in that process. But I'm excited about, you know, the vision still.
Did what happened with I Am Athlete, because I think I read that you put yourself in $12 million debt, mm-hmm. with I Am Athlete?
No, not, see. You see that language you just using? Mm-hmm. But you notice, you just quick right there. But that's a big point. In our community, we say $12 million in debt, or is it $12 million investment?
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Right?
Got you.
Because, you know, year three, you do 10.5. And that's a unicorn.
Yeah.
Amazon was what, in the red for how many years?
That's right.
But still worth how much, right? So you got to understand venture. You got to understand the game. So that's what I'm doing and studying and watching the books I'm reading is on venture. It's on the perfect pitch. And so, yes, it's $12 million investment.
Did that trigger anything in you? Did that bring up anything from the past? Because when I look at I Am Athlete, I look at it as almost like an incubator. Because so much amazing talent has come through and gone on. You see the pivots. You see Ocho Cinco doing what he's doing. So is that like?
And that's one of those things. How do you retain talent, right? How do you structure deals? So that's the other challenge what people don't understand. We are new media. So what does that mean? We're the ones that's going to take. We're on the front line. We're going to take the hits. But when you sit down, I got some cool people to always check on me. Like Nori will hit me up every month or so, and just like, how you doing? You good? Mm-hmm. He hit me up 2 weeks ago, and he's saying, "Yo, I just want to let you know you doing good. Keep going. It ain't nothing but some rap shit." Mm-hmm. He said, look at Fat Joe. Fat Joe went through the same thing when he was building Terror Squad, mm-hmm. right? So it's like he said, the challenge is when you sit down and you're a boss to your teammates or your peers. Mm-hmm. So how do I approach a guy and say, okay, here's the deal, but then how are you sharing the IP? How do you rev share on everything on top, mm-hmm. right? So nothing came up when you asked me the question about $12 million. Nothing came up for me there. What came up, the biggest thing that came up was that everything I went through, when we talk about my cause, my cleats, and mental health, the biggest thing that came up was like, damn, 2011, that's when I started this journey. And after that, I start curating my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wasn't authentic. I wasn't real. Why? Because of what Cam was saying. When I go on the field, now they go from one camera or two cameras on me because I am a superstar, the receiver, but now they got four. After a good play, bad play, they want to see my reaction. Mm-hmm. So now I'm living in a box. If I go do this, if I show emotion, they're going to say, oh, he crazy. Mm-hmm. So for 10 years, I've been like trying to curate this persona. And I'm like, damn, bro, you really is still affected by what happened in 2011. Right? All that work you did, mentalization therapy, self-assessment therapy, like, bro, that shit worked. You understood, like, what was going on with you mentally and how impactful mental health is, but, like, there's still more work to do. And so I start peeling back those layers, and then what also came up was trauma. Like, I spent 3 months in an outpatient program in 2011 dealing with these things, but what I didn't deal with was, you know, some daddy issues, some mama issues. Mm-hmm. But I'm out there teaching these things, mm-hmm. right? So I'm like, oh, shit. Like, no, I got to go deep. Like, I understood, like, why I viewed the world that way or why I view women that way or why I view, you know, why I may have, you know, not been able to trust. Mm-hmm. So I understood it, but I didn't go deep. And so I just spent, like, the last 6 months really going deep, man, and it really changed my life.
All right.
I want to ask, you know, when you're talking football, sports betting kind of took over, right? Yeah. It just seems like some of the things that they talk about now, the analysts will talk about the sports betting, the parlays over the actual game. Do y'all think sports betting helped or hurt the game?
Well, from a player, it helps the game because business. We're all businessmen here.
Yep.
Right? Like, business is booming. We got to be a part of it. You know, that's why you think the NFL is investing in it. They were the number one people walking the halls of Congress and pushing back. But you got to do it. You got to do it from a business perspective, and you got to teach. But from a on the field standpoint, Cam, I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, it's like we ain't worrying about that. I'm not worrying about your overs and your unders, et cetera, et cetera. But you do have some players that's been suspended because they betting, and they ain't supposed to be betting.
Right.
But I don't think it affects the product on the field.
Okay.
We need more minority access in the sports betting space. You see ESPN Bet, MGM, Prize Picks, Underdog, name them, all of them.
DraftKings,
all that. But nobody looks like us. But we probably the number one race that's trying to come up quick. So we talk about business. I'm waiting for some sanctions to be in place for the next sports book to have at least a minority patron in position to do that. Because they use us as influencers, but they don't use us as partners.
And you got Jay-Z fighting
for the casino.
For the casino.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully he gets it.
Hopefully he gets it.
Caesar's Palace. Yeah. Times Square.
Yeah. I mean, it's needed, bro. Like, Caesars. I think for us, we don't have enough of us in position to really empower,
what?
Bro.
What? What?
Nothing, man.
What just happened?
He be on everything.
Nothing, man. Brandon, yeah. Crazy.
See, you just like them.
I'll tell you after the interview. But that's real shit. Like, I just feel like we need to have more access, bro. If we got more access, we already are naturally trendsetters, and just being in the trend of business. That's why Jay-Z is so impactful.
Absolutely,
because we're not used to somebody looking like us, speaking for us, and just empowering us in such a authentic way,
right?
And just imagine if we had 20 of him. Now that changed the narratives in the hood to be like, bro, I ain't just trying to, you know, drill on something. You know, I'm trying to really like pick up a skill on something. You dig what I'm saying? And really take it to the next level.
Cam, what are your thoughts, Cam, on the state of black quarterbacks right now in the NFL? This year it was like some record. It was like what, 14 starting quarterbacks?
Yeah, we the majority. Now the real thing is, when I first came into the league, it was Donovan McNabb. He was headed out. Michael Vick headed out. And that was it. Now, being a white quarterback is the minority now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Being a pocket quarterback is the minority now. You feel me? So I love the state of where it's at right now, and it's pushed by the Lamar Jacksons of the world, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, these extremely savvy skill sets that this game has really never seen, and it's praised now. So
I always felt like there was a racial stereotypical component to being a black quarterback where they felt like y'all weren't smart enough to play the position.
It's in everything, not just in sports. It's in everything. Like, diversity and inclusion, it don't matter what the commodity is. The right hire, the right person should get this position. Just because you run fast and you just so happen to play the quarterback position, you shouldn't have to change your position. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we had a lot of questions about the Lamar Jackson when he got drafted. Joe Flacco was there. It's like, is he going to play receiver? That's why he didn't want to run the 40. It's like, no, bro, I don't want to do that because I know what y'all trying to do. And
that's crazy. So they try to change your position.
Just because you like, come on, bro.
Corner, wide receiver, all these black quarterbacks. You're an athlete. Let's go use you over here.
Correct.
And it's to your point, you know, mine, and it's backed up in numbers as well. Some of the smartest guys, or they think is the smartest guys on the field, are the backup quarterbacks. A lot of our former players that become head coaches are backup quarterbacks. And when you look at the numbers, how many black quarterbacks are backup quarterbacks? Now, that's important because we talk about evolution, evolving, transition. So a white quarterback can be in the NFL for 10, 15 years, never throw a touchdown. They're a backup quarterback. How many black quarterbacks do they get an opportunity?
So to that person that says, who does Cam Newton think he is by coming out with a list, I'm telling you, I said I would be a backup to these people. So knowing that most backup quarterbacks that don't look like me. Being in a quarterback room, you know, it was just certain things that it wasn't awkward. It was just like, as a starter, you set the tempo of the room. But you know, when you can't talk about certain things because it's like, y'all ain't going to be able to relate to it. What I seen in Baltimore this year, they had a black coach, you know, and the backups were black. It was like, damn, I wanted to be in that room. See what that's like. You see what I'm saying? Because I never had that. You know, one of my most exciting times was probably around that 2014, 15, 16 season where I had Joe Webb, Birmingham, And then Derek Anderson, he really was like a hippie damn near, mm-hmm. you know, because he was from Oregon. And he just didn't, he was naive to a lot of things, but he knew his stuff and he was relatable. He knew how to speak my language when I was frustrated, when I was excited. He was that, all right, come on, kiddo, let's go. Come on, man, come on, fix your body language, like that type of thing too. And then, you know, Joe being, man, come on, man, like, fuck that shit, man. Like, you know, that's who he was. And I needed that balance, that contrast mm-hmm. to be able to be the best version of myself, but yeah.
Both of y'all brilliant brothers, man. When did Absolutely. Y'all say to yourselves, we're going to defy the stereotype of the dumb jock?
I don't know. I always looked up to the people who had money. Mm. And I said it on Earn Your Leisure. I was like, bro, I don't really read as many books as I should, but I tap into documentaries heavy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I receive my kind of content. And the documentaries that I love the most are drug kingpins. Because they're the most well-versed businessmen on this earth.
Entrepreneurs.
Because they're not just fighting for their budgets. They're fighting for their lives. Mm-hmm. One wrong move can cost you your freedom or cost you your life. Mm-hmm. And that's how smart you have to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not promoting violence mm-hmm. by no means, but I'm just saying, like, just to be able to think, like, that was the same bandwidth that Pablo Escobar had. You don't run no empire like that without having a little Jeff Bezos in you, with the little Steve Jobs in you, and having to know everything about your business, structuring how much we did this and there. And it's extremely entertaining to me. And when I look at business, I've always was enamored by the owner. How does he move? How does he dress? How does he carry himself? How does people respect him? Mm-hmm. How does he take on the room? How does he treat the people that's at his level or under his level? And I tried to mimic that into the businessman that I am today.
What gave both of y'all brothers the business?
Brandon, what about you?
I never thought about the stigma, played into the stigma, and you could say it's selfish, but, and that may be true for a lot of us, like, you know, we grow up surviving, not thriving, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, yo, I want to play in the NFL. I knew that early. And you know, when you get older, you start understanding, oh, we really ain't got what I thought we have. And so now you want to take care of your mom, you want to take care of your people. That's why earlier when you asked the question as far as championships and impact, for me, it was nothing. It was the money. Like, I'm going to go out there and do my thing. I want to be the best. But I'm taking money over everything because I got a mom and a sister on Chandler Road, you know, in Atlanta, that ain't got nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in a Motel 8, you know, my senior year. And so it was coming from a selfish standpoint, but almost selfless because I really wanted to take care of my people, right? But I loved the game. But then when I ended up at, McLean in that outpatient program, that's when I understood my purpose. And that's when it became bigger than me for the very first time. And that's when I start studying and reading a lot, start reading tons of, like, I mean, I got a whole library and I read all the time. And that's when I put that case study in place, and I've just been purpose-driven since then. And that's been part of the challenge as well. It's like when you hear, sometimes you don't see people, you're not relatable, you know, you're not built in those relationships, right? Because it's just purposeful. I'm here. If mm-hmm. y'all ain't on this here, it's mom too. Mom, mm-hmm. you ain't it. Mom, you going to Betty Ford? She went to Betty Ford. You want that house? Yeah, it's going to Betty Ford. Now she's 7 years sober. Right, but me and mom was fighting for 4 or 5 years. 4 or 5 years, mom was fighting. Shout out to Mary J. Blige. Mary J., it was because of you my mom got help.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, she called me and I was fighting my mom for a couple of years. I'm like, mom, you need help. Like, look at this pamphlet. I think you're alcoholic. And she went through a lot. And I never forget riding down 172nd in Miami on date night. My mom called me crying. She said, baby, I just watched Mary J's story and I think that's me.
Wow.
And I'm gonna finally go get the help I need. And then boom, she goes. We set her up at Betty Ford 3 months later. So 6, 7 years sober.
Wow.
7 years sober. 7 years. I'm sorry, mom, if I missed a year or so.
That's the power of content right there.
Absolutely.
That's what you were saying. That just makes you want to continue to make intentional, purpose-driven content. Yes. That somebody's documentary, Mary mm-hmm. J's documentary, can influence and inspire somebody to go get help.
That's right.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Love Mary. Never met her. I was up for Mary to meet my mom.
No, salute to Mary. Where did the business mind come from? You talk about all this business. Where did that come from? You hear a lot of times people go to all these different leagues, right? And they just focus on the game. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it's time to get out, they realize that what they thought they had, they no longer have, right? Mm-hmm. Due to agents, due to taxes, due to friends, family, this, that, any other. When did y'all get the mind where it's like, I'm going to be different? Because a lot of times we're not taught.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's in the book of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And it's a title that says, "What's your business?" Right? And you ask a person, they say, "Oh, I'm a teacher." Yeah, but you own your own school? It's like, no. What's your business? Like, what do you do? Mm. And it's like, hey, I'm an athlete. Yeah, so you own a team? It's like, no. So when you start having this understanding, like, what's my business? That forces you to say, what can I call my own? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm building these platforms. I'm giving these ideas, my cause, my cleats, breast cancer awareness for other people, but it's not me. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling Brandon to this day, like, bro, you got all these ideas, bro, but you ain't got nothing to show for it. So I'm saying that. Let me get to the point. Like, how do we make sure that we follow through, that we do have something to show for, right? Not to say that he ain't got nothing, you know, but it's just like, you should have more. If we're being honest. Mm-hmm. So this business side kind of came where it's shunned when you're playing because you're not focused. You're putting, like, I had a person tell me, you getting paid enough where you don't need to go on these things. I said, no, bullshit. Hell no. You don't get the right to tell me what I'm making enough to not get advertising dollars. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's clear as day. But I don't think a lot of athletes are aware, nor that's the lazy side. But the reality too, a lot of them really don't have time to really focus in and hone in. So now whether the Atlanta Falcons call me or not, I have to really consider, it's like, yo, I'm doing so much stuff to set up for the next mm-hmm. that I would be distracted if I was there. You know what I'm saying? But that business side has always came, like, well, y'all in Atlanta, bro, come to fellowship. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you say a hat, like, this is my company. This is not somebody else. Like, go get a hat. You know, the style is, you know, something that I've always been working on, so many different things. I show myself with my production company, Iconic Saga. No, I don't need ESPN to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think with all these furloughs, these last couple of years, ESPN, the Time Warner, the Paramounts, they've understood, like, oh, we can't keep hiring all these people. Like, we got to do cuts because people are not consuming the content the same way that they used to. Mm-hmm. So,
Brandon?
I think for me, the first couple of years was rough, you know? And then, you know, I always knew, like, I had it. The game, the personality, all of that. You know, I would just sit there and watch, like, Peyton Manning, his press conference after Sunday Night Football, see his hand gestures and talking. And, you know, I was always studying. I was like, damn, I could do that. And so the first couple of years was rough. And then I realized, like, damn, bro, you're not a brand. And a lot of athletes, what we do is we go out there and we're like, yo, Nike pay me this, Gatorade pay me that. We're a brand. We're trying to make money off our name, image, likeness. I was like, well, that's not there for me anymore. I'm business. And so I start operating that way, hiring my own teams, building out, you know, teams and taking these ideas and trying to bring them to life. And so, yeah, I just put my head down, really start reading. And a book that really changed my life was Good to Great. And so Jim Collins, all his business imprints, I read all of them. Like, I was hooked. That was my first business book. Mm-hmm. Probably damn near my first book I ever read. And it was my fifth year in the NFL, you know? And so, and the reason why I said that, when you said, what do you have to show for it? You know, like, I read everything. Like, even, like, you watch a Netflix documentary. It takes 10, 15 years sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. Peloton, 7 years. This CEO, he was about to commit suicide. And then all of a sudden, boom, it pops through. Yeah. So, you know, it just takes time. But I feel like our breakthrough was in a pandemic. Like, we were ready. Everything I wanted happened in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Boom. Now I have two brands that are nationally known. And then one that is globally known when it comes to athletes because they tap into the platform. So premier athletes around the world are watching. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in this space when you ask me, like, yo, why are you going on sabbatical? Because I'm like, I fucking got it. And now it's like, all right, what do I do next? My next moves got to be my best moves.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So.
And you were service. I mean, Project 375, I mean, you've been, you know, that's, you was on the front lines of the mental health conversation long time ago. Yeah.
I'm done with Project 375. I'm done with nonprofit.
Okay.
For profit. That's where House of Athlete comes in at. Like, that's a $10 billion brand. And my vision wasn't necessarily nonprofit. It was more so just the work. And it's like, I had this vision in 2015. I said, damn, you know, in 15 years, we're going to donate $400 million to the mental health community. So I got 390 to go.
No,
you know?
But
and so I said that I was going to do that through business.
Yeah, but don't do that, though. Because nonprofit gives you a way to shelter that. So you're not just sure. Get tax benefits.
No, for sure. Like, no, it's still like the entity is still there and we take the benefits. But instead of me taking, it's like time, right?
But it's people.
So if I'm putting like 50% of my time is going into nonprofit, mm-hmm. and now that nonprofit is generating, you know, let's say $2.5 million a year. Right, $2.5 million a year. Like, we're doing these ping pong tournaments, golf tournaments, these different galas, and we're bringing in $200,000-$300,000 a pop. But then you got the overhead. It's like, this is a waste of my time. So then I can go focus on business, and boom, you know, I can generate more revenue. And that's why I said, like, when I did that, when I stopped playing ball, and I realized that what I realized, I was when in my transition 2018-19, I'm laying there on my gym floor, the same gym that you guys came to, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, this is mental health. Like, you're talking about wellness. And so I said, I ain't going to put my time in here. I'm going to put my time there. And at the time, we was doing $11,950 a month. And I put that plan in place. And within 3 months, and I was like, if I see a community being built and I hit 60,000 recurring monthly, I'm going all in. So that's how we got to the 12. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two metrics that I was looking at. Mm-hmm. Community. And the way I was gauging the community was how many people lead the workout, this class, and then they go to a juice bar and they sit there and hang out. They like it, mm-hmm. right? This the next Peloton, the next SoulCycle, et cetera, et cetera. Within month three, I went from $12,000 a month to $65,000. I said, fucking, I got it. Here we go. Boom. And so then, you know, pandemic hit, things slowed down. And then right there, year three, 10.5, 4.5 on a brick and mortar side, 5.5 on the media side. And now, but every dollar in, you know, it's going right back out. Right, like, right. I was, you know, you're moving fast. It's like, shit, when we going to do a deal with NASCAR and we got to take 10 people, that's coming out of my pocket. It, like Cam said, Iconic Saga check. That was coming out of Brandon Marshall entity, you know what I'm saying? Right, so it was because we wasn't generating any revenue then. And it's like, boom, 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 boom,
but
boom.
A lot of those things, too, like, you don't understand your business. And I think you have to acknowledge that, too, for people who are listening. It's like, when you get these brand deals, even though it says Cam Newton, I have to understand, like, hey, I'm not paying Cam Newton. I haven't paid Cam Newton through Iconic Saga yet. And I've had Iconic Saga since 2016. Mm-hmm. Like, we need better understanding of the business structure and what really is. It's like, no, y'all using my name. Like, this is, it's still a talent. But knowing, like, hold on, I need to get the best equipment. You know, I need enhancements around, you know, the set. Like, I want chairs like this now. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that's an Iconic Saga expense. Mm-hmm. So once you understand that, like, that's where, okay, you're standing on business. You feel what I'm saying?
I got two more questions for y'all. One is a broad question just about the NFL, and one for you, Cam. But start with the NFL question. Why do y'all think C.J. Stroud's Thanking Jesus was edited out of his post-game speech?
Hmm.
Like, is the league, you know, like, not accepting of religion? I've always seen people thank God. So why do you think that happened?
Yeah, I think that was NBC, too.
Oh, NBC, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was NBC?
I believe so.
I mean, yeah, I think it, you know, look, now we're in a time where we're so divided, right? And so you think about, you know, why we're divided, the politics, religion, you know, and in different communities, their points of views. And so when you think about business, they don't want that. They just want football. And so I think it's wrong. It's disrespectful, but that's the answer. They're looking at business and a division. Like, they want this audience that's coming here just for ball. And then you go back to the pandemic, 2020, right? Like 2020 showed us, you know, people were tired of talking politics. Remember that conversation? Mm-hmm. Tired of talking politics. And that's where the conversation, athletes, shut up, do this. We just come here for ball.
So shut up and dribble.
Yeah. That's right. So now they sit in here and they're like, well, let's take all that other stuff out the game. We got through it already. We had in racism in the end zone. And some teams still have some of those things. But the reality is these organizations is trying to get rid of that.
What you think, Cam?
Hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. NBC, hold their ass accountable. They're going to do it to... If C.J. Stroud would have said something controversial, they would have been running that, looping it, running that,
all day.
Looping it. Like, I'll give you another one. How do we mistake who Burna Boy is?
Yeah, we reported that this morning. You're right.
It happens all the time.
Which is crazy. Mind you, he won a Grammy two years ago.
Come on now. Hold these motherfuckers accountable. That's the only reason, because this is the unfair treatment. You'll sit up there and you'll hold an athlete accountable because of his performance. You'll hold an athlete accountable or entertainers because they're humans. Mm-hmm. But what do we say to these networks when they make their mistakes? We just overlook, it's okay, cool. No, I'm coming for accountability on everybody, from the reporters to the players to the networks. Because that shit ain't right. Shit, if I make a motherfucking take, and I say these are game at, like, oh shit, bro. Who the hell are you? You was trash as a player. Okay, cool. But if I were to go back and I look at DJ Envy's personal life and I really put a microscope to it and I really identify who Charlamagne the guy really is, the kid from South Carolina, and I really start asking those people, but that'd be me being malicious. But you gonna do that. When I make a mistake, ain't this the same boy that got all these kids? Why he got all these kids? But if I start naming all the people who also got multiple kids, but y'all didn't know that though, too. So y'all are gonna hold me accountable to some of that different rules for different people. No, hold everybody accountable. That's what the new norm of 2024 should be. And if you call cap on me, show the receipts. Your boy Debo, Cam, stop calling me. Motherfucker, I ain't calling you. Now he realized like somebody was playing with you. Can't just sit up there and do that goofy ass shit.
So you know,
you don't know that situation.
What? So you never was calling.
No, somebody was playing on his phone.
That's crazy,
man. And these little white kids that came out and said that, but he goes online and say like, "Yo, bro, Cam, stop calling me. You just wanted me on your podcast a couple weeks ago." I'm like, bro, that wasn't me.
That's
cool, but he tried to stand on business. But as we find out, and I'm a fan, still a fan of Debo. Like, bro, like, how can I hate what you do? Like, it was a mistake. Mm. But hey, you thought you got me. You didn't. Like, bro, we have to start highlighting authentic people. Bro, I'm real, bro. I go anywhere, and I'm good because I respect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Can't sit up here. What you gonna have to say? You dress goofy. Like, hell nah, bro. Don't talk about me and my kids because you can't have one of my kids tell me I'm not the best father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. You know what I'm saying? I love my kids. I want more kids. You know what I'm saying? So don't make that plight with that situation because I'm extremely intentional. I give opportunities to people. Right, I'm looking at a guy right now, Amari. I remember when he wore this baggy ass suit in 2016, and now, I'm saying that. Check this out, though. But I also, we were walking on Fifth Avenue yesterday, and I sit up and I told him, I said, "Bro, I'm proud of you, dog. I see how you carry yourself now. Like, bro, you got to do better." Because people are reporting to you and you have to also carry yourself how I carry myself. The level of accountability has to be from top down, not bottom up. And this is a dear friend, he doesn't work for me. We work as partners. Because he is owed a lot of the creation. Everybody right here, the same thing. So I'm all about opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I get that opportunity that a lot of people have had, I know what I'll do with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the accountability that has to be rendered in this media space. Because if you were to say something, misinformed information, oh, damn, Brandon Marshall in debt 12 million. No, hold on, stop. You know how many people are listening to this shit? They gonna think Brandon Marshall really in debt $12 million. No,
invested.
I invested
$12 million.
So we owe a due diligence to the content that we give out that is as authentic to the truth. And if it's not the truth or if it's fucked up, we got to highlight that. Hold on. No, that's what Cat Williams was trying to do. And that's what he did. He just gave receipts. Collecting information for years. He said, I was just been collecting information for years.
And you feel like that was the right thing to do, Cat Williams?
I mean, I can never tell somebody not to live their truth, but I guess my issue is the same thing that Cam just said, and I said this on air. When you're talking about power and control in a business, if all you're calling out is black people, mm-hmm. then you're not really calling nobody out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't talk about power and control in Hollywood and not talk about these white executives.
But I think, too, the missed thing, too, is that he was retaliating from the past guest that had came and spoke on something. He was like, no, that's not true.
Some of them. He had that rhetoric for Kevin a long time ago.
But that's the thing. Like, we missed that. It's mm-hmm. like, hold up. These guests were there before. And it's still subjective to who you gonna believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but I look at it like this. I'm like, hold on. I text Kristen Myers, right? And I told her, I said, God damn. Club Shay Shay, boy, they putting pressure on Funky Friday. And I love it. I'm not hating on them.
Why do we feel like that, though? I don't feel like that.
It's a competitive drive. It's not it's not hating.
Yeah.
He's bringing out the best version of me because I'm seeing his guest list. Country Wayne did numbers. Mm-hmm. Cat Williams set pressure. I mean, we started off the year on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's going to be a good year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's in that space where I'm saying I respect Shannon Sharp enough. A one of us type of guy played in the NFL, has morphed into a better. We just seen CBS, Nate Burleson mm-hmm. evolve Salute and just getting better. We see Mike mm-hmm. Shanahan, mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael Strahan, Michael Strahan. Like, these people are evolving, and that's no different than what I'm doing right now. I'm evolving into a new version of who Cam Newton really is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want to always stand on that authenticity where it's like, hold on, what happened to the Cam? Where it's like, nah. This Cam right here, bro, I feel liberated. I can't wait to use my platform to impact, empower, and entertain people.
Well, are you coming out with a book on how to be the kind of man that makes a woman want to submit?
Ooh,
A woman want to be submissive.
I need to be coming out with a book that tell we need men to start being men.
That might be the reason.
I think that's the thing too. That submissive line, mm-hmm. I should have added also, we need men to be men. Because then I will ask DJ Envy,
mm-hmm.
how are you able to sustain your marriage for so many years?
Mm.
We don't talk about that.
That's true.
You know, mm-hmm. and for a
real life, book right
real
there. Love. See the book right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, real life.
We're married 22 years, ups, downs, lefts, rights.
Yes,
but we're able to, you know, to talk about it. And...
Yeah, so when I'm having these conversations and I'm speaking, I've never been married. So somebody would say, "How the hell you get to talk about marriage if you ain't never been married?
You got relationships."
But yeah. Then I would say this: How does Stephen A. Smith talk about the NBA if he ain't never been in the NBA?
Right.
I've had certain situations though that had garnered a lot of attention by me saying, you know, an alpha male. Mm-hmm. But a real man, I've seen my father do this. He knew when to allow the woman to lead. Mm-hmm. We need men to start taking accountability and saying like, bro, you can't just keep having these fatherless children, bro. Mm-hmm. But we highlight them in music. We highlight them in, you know, different aspects. It's like, okay, he a great this or great that. That's what Charleston White did. Just still accountability, you know? And he shunned Deion. I'm like, but did Deion do anything different if you was in his position? Would you not try to put your son on? Mm-hmm. So you can't be hypocritical to that.
And it's not like his son not a dog.
Exactly.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
And he's putting his whole family, like the well-off media, that's his son. Mm-hmm. Like it's no different. Oh, I'll give you one even better.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not talking about Sunday Night Football? Chris Collinsworth. You know who does the on-field analyst?
Mm-mm.
His son.
Mm.
With Coach and Harrison.
Yeah.
It's his son. Mm-hmm. But we don't talk about that.
Are you talking about Chris Sims?
Chris, no. Oh. Collins, Collinsworth.
Okay,
his son.
Yeah.
Right? How do we hold the Lonzo Balls and the Lamar Balls to a standard when we seen what Archie Manning did for his sons?
Well, you talking about, basically you talk about nepotism, and that's like Bill Belichick's son, both of his sons, defensive coordinator and also safeties coach, yeah. Andy Reid for his son, like, when they went to the Super Bowl driving drunk, whatever, but his son was on the coaching staff. But that's
accountability.
Get the coach down in Jacksonville. He brings his son in as a tight end. He didn't make the team, but he gave him a spot.
I'm not mad at that.
But tried to give him a spot.
It's accountability. Like, let's start calling it what we're calling it having these, hold on, shut up. No, Cam, don't say that. Let's keep talking about Deion Sanders. And it's not a black and white thing. It's more of like a real authentic thing. And when you, I owe a service to the viewer. I owe a service to my community of people. My kind, as I would like to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, they expect the honesty. But now I have to learn from the Larry Kings. I have to learn from the Oprah Winfreys. I have to learn from the Shannon Sharps. I have to learn from, you know, everybody that has a night show, the Jay Leno's of the world, and going back on and seeing how they were able, the Charlemagne, the guys, to ask these tough questions, very savvy. And that's pretty much what it comes down to, being a student of the game and holding people accountable.
Y'all brothers are doing a great job. Absolutely. I can sit here and talk to y'all all day, man.
That's right.
Make sure you check the I Am Iconic tour and the I Am Athlete Funky Friday. It's a tour?
Yeah, so we did a couple cities.
Okay.
Now we feel like it's like almost like a comedian of perfecting their material.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have this idea of creating a live experience. And so we were in Atlanta, Chicago, and we feel really good about it. And now it's time. To what? Stand on business?
Stand on business. Package it. Doesn't make sense, but that doesn't negate the fact that we still got our individually owned IPs. The Iconic Saga creates its original content, the 4th and 1 sports show, Funky Friday. You have H3 Productions that we know, I Am Athlete, Paper Route, things like that. And yeah, it's just going to keep getting better and better. We'll be at, you know, Super Bowl as well, just collecting data. I'll be on Radio Row at 4th and 1. I hope I can see Dak. I hope I can see Kimberly Martin. I can see Jason McIntyre. I hope I can see Brock Parody. I hope I can see, you know, Tua Tagovailoa. Because unlike a lot of people who just throw a grenade and leave, shit, I'm pulling up with a knife. I mean, I got to be real close to you.
It's the best.
Yeah, come on.
I'd rather have a conversation with
you. Come on.
That's why a lot of people in this space I don't respect, because you're too busy talking about folks.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
Had a conversation with them.
That. Well, we appreciate you brothers for joining us.
Yes, sir.
And y'all guys are invited anytime, you know that. So if you in town, pull on up.
Yeah.
You ain't just come on up.
Nah. See, I'm going to tell you like I told, you know, Brandon. I ain't going to keep doing freebies.
I ain't mad at you.
But, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back.
I ain't mad at you.
The next time, you got to come on our
podcast. I'll be there. Say less.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that to say y'all got to pay me. What I am saying, hey, just return the favor.
Say less. I'm there.
And hopefully when we get our co-host, whenever that happens, you know, we'll all come together.
Hold on. What happened?
I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation you had.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. What happened? Before we get out of here, the people I want to know.
With what?
With Just Hilarious.
Oh, I loved y'all conversation on.
No.
That was a dope conversation. Like y'all, that was an amazing conversation.
What happened to Just Hilarious on the Breakfast Club?
Yo, Cam Newton and Brandon Marshall. Thank y'all for joining
Cam
us,
Newton, man.
We appreciate them so much, man. It's the Breakfast
Club. Is
this
thing on?
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.